Good afternoon. This is Mark J. Ward with Pleasing God, the program that talks about interesting Bible topics, things that are pertinent to our eternal destination, be it heaven or hell, and it's our choice as what we do with our life. To know who is this God of the Bible, and if that is who we should serve, if that's really the truth, okay, what do we need to do to be acceptable in view of the judgment and only two choices of eternal existence, heaven or hell? When Paul was preaching the gospel in Acts the 24th chapter and verse 24, and he was talking to a person who was not a Christian, he did not shirk back from teaching that would be needful for him. But even in view of what the ruler could do to him, Paul taught the truth of God's word. And Felix wanted to hear about the way, the gospel, and these things. Let us pick up in Acts 24 in verse 22 in the reading. But when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned the proceedings and said, "When Lysias the commander comes down, I will make a decision on your case." So he commanded the centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty, and told him not to forbid any of his friends to provide for or visit him. And after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now as he, that's Paul, reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. See, Paul was preaching the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to Felix. What was the effect as Paul was trying to allow the gospel to penetrate the heart of Felix, and Felix to willingly, of his own volition, of his own choice, to say, "I want to become a Christian," or "I want to obey God," or "I want to please God." Thus the name for our radio program title. Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. Paul didn't bite on whatever that part of the scripture is talking about. Paul had appealed to Caesar. While Paul was a Jew among Jews and well-schooled, he also had Roman citizenship. And he raised his hand and said, "I appeal to Caesar," when things got troublesome earlier in his life. And he was going to be transported under prison guard and protection to get to Rome to have his needs met, or his fair trial, if you call it that, in a court. But along the way, here's Felix getting to hear the gospel. We don't have any evidence that I know of in the Bible for sure, or in secular history, which is uninspired and sometimes questionable. If you get history today that's happening, and you have an American historian writing about it, and you have a Pakistani historian write about it, or an Iraq or an Iranian historian writing about it, and you put them side by side and compare, you might get a different bent when you read historians talking about the very same event or the very same point in time. And that's true because of the perspective that would be from the American viewpoint, overall speaking, and a foreign nation. And that's okay. That's uninspired history. But biblical history is true accounts of what happened, both good and bad. And we have this true account in this man's life. Now, what if it had been you or me at that point, and the gospel had been preached, and we're in a position of power? Sounds like he wanted some money from Paul in order to be released, instead of concentrating more on being proper and ethical and honest and right and putting first things first, which would not be the money, but the salvation of his soul. The Bible says, "What shall a man give in exchange for a soul? Or what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world, meaning monetarily and riches, earthly riches, and lose his own soul? Your best, most precious possession is not, if you have one, a shiny car or a wonderfully built house, though in their proper place, that's transportation, and that's a place to lay your head at night and be out of the rain. Because when Jesus comes again, it's not going to amount to anything. Or if you die before Jesus comes again, or if I do, our possessions are not going to mean a thing in judgment. It's what did we do in the kingdom of God to please God. Are you pleasing God in the way you live? Are you pleasing God in the way you handle your riches? Or have you had opportunities to obey God or even become a Christian and you haven't? And like Felix, you were interested in something else at the time that the devil was distracting you with? Oh yeah, we have helped to sin. It's called temptation. And the devil and his angels and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life can tempt us to draw us away from what is pleasing to God. But if we don't know who this God of the Bible is, and we don't know what the Word of God that's revealed to us now in Scripture tells us is pleasing to Him, how will we know what is good and bad, right and wrong, except through a conscience that has been trained or programmed properly, possibly, by godly parents, or improperly trained, speaking of the conscience now, by ungodly parents? And the standard needs to be the Word of God. The standard needs to be God's Word that has been revealed to us for our benefit. How many times are you opening the Bible a week and looking into it? I pray that you're encouraged because of this broadcast to do so, and have been doing so on other occasions, and it's ever increasing. Now, we're not to quit our job and say, well, Mark wants us to read the Bible all the time and learn how to please God, so I'm just stopping everything but that. No, if you'll read the Bible, you'll see there are responsibilities while we're here on earth to have a job, to work, to provide for our own, to nurture our children and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. There are spiritual and physical responsibilities that are in the Word of God. We can't shortcut it. We can't game it. We can't fool God. We need to read and learn about God, and we need to read and learn about, in His Word, what we are to do in two general areas: how we live as an individual and how we are in local congregations. If we will do that as individuals, we know what kind of citizens we're supposed to be. We'll know how we're to treat our fellow man in loving our neighbor as ourselves. We'll learn how we're supposed to pay our taxes, even if we think they might be unfair or whatever the case may be. And we'll pray for those who are rulers in governments, whether they be bad rulers or whether they be good rulers. And as congregations, we'll look to the Word of God, and we'll see about the local congregations and what was approved by God that would be well-pleasing to God in the work of the church, the organization of the church, the worship of the church, how the Lord's money is to be spent, how the Lord's money is to be raised with regard to churches, treasuries, and by a law of exclusion, that which has not been authorized is sin. This principle is found in 2 John 9. And it's true for both the individual as well as for local churches, that if we don't abide, that is, if we don't operate, if we don't dwell, if we don't perform activities that are authorized in the Word of God for the individual and in church activities for the local congregation, then we're outside the teaching of Christ. I'm going to ask you to mentally draw a picture of a circle, rectangle if you want to, or a square, or a diamond, octagon. But put inside of that the doctrine of Christ. Synonymously think of the gospel of Christ, the law of Christ, the perfect law of liberty by which we are to live and be judged, James 1:25 and James 2:12. And 2 John, there's only one chapter, verse 9 says, whosoever, because God's not a respecter of persons, transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. So here's the name of our program, Pleasing God. And here's 2 John 9 from the God of the Bible. And it says, warning us, teaching us for our good, for our benefit, that if we don't abide, if we're not living, if we're not going daily in our walk in the doctrine of Christ and following it, we're not pleasing God. We have not God. If we have not God, we're not with God. We need to be with God, walking with God, walking in the light. 1 John 1, 6 through 9, and other verses. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ, this is the latter part of verse 9, 2 John, has both the Father and the Son. So just like on the judgment day, Matthew 25 speaks of sheep and goats in only two categories for the people who have lived on earth. You're either going to be a sheep or you're going to be a goat. And you don't want to be a goat because all the goats are going to hear, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You want to be a sheep. Enter in, thou good and faithful servant, into the joys of the Lord. Oh, trouble, 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 trouble here on earth. Oh, trouble, trouble. Yes, because of sin, because of people who cheat, lie, steal, because of the evil in the world. But good, 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 good. People are trying to serve God. Some people, though they be in the minority, are pleasing God in fulfilling their individual walk in life, and congregations that are doing things according to the will of God. Well, I think, somebody says, God would be pleased, I think, in New Testament worship if we add the burning of incense. Oh, we'll keep our singing and praying, and we'll keep our teaching, and we'll keep, you know, having the Lord's Supper, communion, and we'll keep certainly giving as we've been prospered on the first day of the week. But let's throw some incense in here, and let's close our eyes and meditate and think about God. I think God will be happy with that. This violates the principle of 2 John 9. God has given us a recipe for success spiritually of how the individual is to live and how the church is to function. I'm talking about local congregations now. And when we try to improve upon God's pattern, it's like taking a wonderfully built blueprint to build the house right according to code and saying, well, I think if we just spread the 2x4s instead of what code says, we set them further apart, we'll save money. And God wants us to be good stewards. So I'm going to put them twice as far apart as code requires. After all, they're covered up on the inside with the inside walls of the house, and they're covered up on the outside. And I know the old inspector down here, wink, wink, nod, nod, and I'll give them, you know, $1,000, but I'll save $10,000 on the material of building my new house. And yeah, it won't be on code there, but I'm going to follow code for the plumbing and the electricity and the important stuff. Is that right? Well, first of all, it's violating the laws of the land. And secondly, that house may just have a structural problem. We need to get our house in order for the Lord. I love you. If you have any questions, get to markjward.com, the website. Write your question or comments in the question section. God bless you and have a wonderful day.